All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubois. And if you've ever wondered how a realtor transformed into a virtual flipping expert, today we have Steve Mikrut, who made the leap from Las Vegas to Columbia, South Carolina, mastering the art of virtual flipping and securing funds for real estate ventures. Steve, welcome to the show. Excited to dive into the virtual journey. How are you today?
I'm great, Bryce. Thanks for having me.
We got the memo. We both got our blue shirts on.
Yeah, it's blue day.
It's blue day. Well, I'm kind of handcuffed with the blue sign, so I try to keep the blue shirt. But you're a real estate agent in Las Vegas flipping property. I would say that's probably halfway across the country.
Yeah, it's about almost as far away as you can get, right?
Yeah, unless you were in California and you were flipping in New York, that would be probably about as far as you could go. So, or maybe Alaska. That would be
Alaska for sure.
Clear across the world. So, why, you know, we talked a little bit before the show as to the numbers in your market. Is that the main driving factor for working out of your market? Because a lot of people get nervous about working outside of their market.
Yes, I would say that it was sort of by chance, somewhat by chance, that I ended up flipping in South Carolina. I'd been a realtor for a long time. I've been licensed in Las Vegas for 22 years, and I never really made the transition to investor. I did a one-off here and there over those 22 years. But I decided in around 2020 that I wanted to get into investing full time. I had the knowledge base. I just wasn't sure what to do. So I joined a mastermind coaching program that was about wholesaling, actually. Oddly enough, I'd been licensed for so long and had never done a wholesale. I didn't even really know what a wholesale deal was, which is seems almost unbelievable after being in the business for so long. But so I took an expensive course on how to wholesale property. In that course, we had three like weekly Zoom meetings where all of the students, you know, we could see one another. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met my current business partner. His name is Ruben. And he lives in Denver. And he knew I was a realtor, and he had this flip going in Columbia, South Carolina. And he was having some real estate problems, not flipping problems, but like realtor problems. And he was asking me for some help. Mm-hmm. So that's how he and I kind of became friendly. We saw each other every week, all 3 days on these podcasts. And at that time, I was using SMS mainly to try and market for wholesale and discount properties. Yeah. And I was having zero luck in my home market. I'd probably gone through 8,000 SMS and I had one appointment and I didn't get that deal. And I knew that this guy, Ruben, had, you know, he lived in Denver. He wasn't even trying to do it in his own town and he already had one. So he and I started talking and he had said, listen, I'm not so good at sales. I'm really good on the dispo side. He's really good with numbers and computers. He's a enterprise level network engineer, and mm-hmm. he just kind of has that type of brain. So he said, let me try and run your SMS campaign and see what's happening. He ran my SMS campaign for one day and basically said, I don't think that marketing method is going to work right now in your market. He said, mm-hmm. but you're obviously really good at talking to people. Why don't you run my SMS campaign in Columbia? And if you can get a deal, I'll dispo it and we'll split the deal 50-50. Boom. First week, we got another deal in Columbia. The next week, we got another deal. And this was all wholesale at that time. This is in, mm-hmm. 2020 leading into 2021. And at that time, hedge funds were buying all of our
deals, everything.
100% of the deals that we bought were sold to hedge funds. In fact, we had a couple of cell phone numbers for the asset managers for a few of the top buyers for the hedge funds in that area. And I would have my acquisition guy on the phone negotiating a deal. I would call the asset manager ask, give them the address, give them the general condition. They would give us a price. And then I'd go back to my acquisition guy, and he knew what the price would have to be before he finished negotiating the deal. So we essentially had those things sold
back to back
before we ever had them inked. And that was awesome. What an amazing business that was until June of 2022, right? So everything changed at that time.
Yeah. Tell me in your opinion, what changed and why?
The entire spigot for those buyers was completely turned off. Okay. Just one day, I think it was June 18th, as a matter of fact, was the day that something happened in the mortgage-backed securities market for the first time, and it inverted somehow. I think it was June 18th, 2022. We had probably six or seven deals in escrow ready to close that month, and two of the hedge funds called us and basically said, "We're canceling all the deals. Keep the earnest money. We're out."
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, "Holy cow! What are we going to do?" Luckily,
musical chairs and the music stop
for sure. Luckily, during the course of the 2 years that we were kind of doing that, we made some really good contacts on the ground there between asset managers, property managers, the agents that were kind of the conduit for the asset managers and their properties and stuff. And we built a really good network of people on the ground there. And so we were already good at getting properties at a fairly deep discount. But now we no longer have buyers, right? Or the buyers that we did have were gone. And so we had to figure out what to do. And we just decided, listen, why don't we just start flipping these things ourselves, right? The market kind of contracted to where when we were wholesaling, you know, you've got the retail price, you've got the price that an investor would buy it at, and still a little bit more spread so that we could wholesale it. That spread went away. And so the only choice we felt we had left was, well, now we need to be our own buyer. We need to be the flipper on these properties. And so that's what we did. We had some friends and family that knew what we were doing. They said, listen, we want to get involved with what you're doing. And they were some of our initial funds for some of those flips. We used a couple of the more popular lenders, like Dominion was one of the companies that first got us started. Mm-hmm. But their funds were limited to a multiple of what we had in cash reserves, and that can always be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the years, last 2 years, we've built up a nice little group of private money lenders that we rely on, that know that we do what we say we're going to do, that we have a constant influx of deals, and not just in Columbia, South Carolina. We can do it in anywhere in South Carolina. We've got an amazing crew on the ground there for rehabs and some really good contacts. And then as well as the Las Vegas market, it's a little tougher to find deals here, but when you do, they're pretty profitable deals.
Mm-hmm. So with all the things that you're doing, I really like how you started acquisitions forward. You know, a lot of people jump into the flipping game in the middle and they're like, I want to flip property. How do I find deals, right? They've already, you know, started dreaming about doing deals, but they have no idea how to like actually find them. And I think that people who do really well in flipping really have their roots in wholesaling, because they're like, well, I bought it with meat on the bones. And even if the meat on the bones, like you're saying, I kind of evaporated, if the market coming down maybe 5% or something, which would have been your fee, we can still make this work as long as we eat our own dinner here. So,
yes,
you know, instead of sending it out the kitchen, looks like we're eating it in the back here. So, you know, with Robert Kiyosaki, he talks about the unfair advantage. You know, what comes easy to you guys in your business that, you know, other people might find difficult to do?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's easy, but, you know, one thing that's been really powerful for the partnership that I have is, excuse me, in the first coaching group that we met in, we had our personality profiles done. It was the personality index, PI assessment, they call it. It's like a disc or
disc, you know,
there's a bunch of them, right? Yeah. And so we kind of it kind of was the first time that I ever identified what my superpower was, right? And same thing for my business partner. And in talking to our coaches, it kind of seemed like the two, the meeting of the two types that we were like perfect for being business partners. My personality profile is a maverick, and it's definitely over 22 years of meeting strangers and talking about real estate. I got really good at it. And so I would say building rapport very quickly, and understanding how to structure and architect a deal is probably my strongest suit. That's my superpower. My business partner is a marketing whiz. He understands marketing. He understands the numbers. He's that guy, and I'm definitely not that guy. So those two things, us coming together and working together and understanding what each of our lanes were, right, and what our responsibilities were to make this thing work for us, that's really what was probably our biggest advantage. We had the right butts in the right seat, and we understood very clearly that whether you're a wholesaler or you are a flipper or whatever you're doing with real estate, the whole game is finding deals, period. Yep. Right? It's potentially the toughest part unless you treat it like its own business. And that's kind of how we've treated it along the way. Nothing happens until you find a discounted property. And
yeah,
no, there will be no discounted properties if you're not marketing. And if you're not marketing to people that need help, you're wasting your breath.
I was going to say, when you brought up the personality profiles, like the way this guy talks and the way he kind of moves, I'm going to guess he's like an ID or a DI, and your partner's probably like a CS, like a computer support person, loves to tinker in the background, and you just want to get the deal done. You want to get on the phone. You want to close the deal. You want to find out what the deal is, get it done. And he's like, let me get you more. I bet we can improve that by 10%.
That's exactly how it is. That's exactly
so,
how it is.
Yeah, a great partnership. That's the secret sauce I'm hearing, is a great partnership to balance out each other and like have a full rounded business moving there. So, you know, with all you've accomplished in real estate so far, what would you say your biggest obstacle is these days?
You know, there's been a couple along the way. Obviously, the change in, like, we thought we had it figured out, man, when we were wholesaling. And you know, like, this is the greatest thing. It's like printing money.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so something as crazy as a massive market change in all of that was really painful for us to go through. As a matter of fact, at that time, we had just gone from outbound marketing, mostly SMS and cold calling, to inbound, nationwide pay-per-click. Right. We had been doing that for maybe a month and a half. We probably started that at the beginning of May.
And you're like, we're rolling it out. We're going to blow this thing up.
We're
going to
kill it. Going to kill it. And then
the
everything stopped except for the $15,000 a month going out for pay-per-click.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The marketing spend never stops, whether you get a response or be able to execute on it. That's a different story.
So coming full circle, though, it's kind of the cool thing that's happened for us is because we started as wholesalers and we did a bunch of deals, we got to know, even though we weren't there, we got on the radar of all the other people that are doing what we were doing out there. They know who we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we took a beating in 2020, from the end of 2022 through the beginning of 2023, just like most people did.
Yep.
And what we started to see happen is all of a sudden the other people that were doing what we were doing, now they're coming to us with their deals. So we became the buyer. And after doing a couple of them, you are obviously on the radar, like people that look at PropWire
PropStream.
Like,
oh,
they
look,
can identify us.
This guy's name's on like 10 properties. We should
Next thing I know, I'm getting calls from 3-4 wholesalers a day with different deals. And as of right now, today, we currently are still at zero ad spend and have been for the past maybe 6 months. We've been buying all of our deals from wholesalers, realtors, on-market deals, in Columbia, South Carolina, and just other affiliated people in the business that have heard about us. And then also like my Facebook page, we typically put, I constantly am updating pictures and what we're doing and the projects we have going. And that actually generated more interest than I even anticipated. A lot of people like seeing that stuff, and I didn't realize it, but it's been a real blessing for us. That's where a lot of our private money lenders have come from.
Yeah, it builds that trust. They're like, look, he does what he says, and here's the photo proof that he actually flipped those houses, and the job he did is amazing. I want to be part of that. So, once, you know, as a wholesaler myself, if someone's buying and they're aggressive, they're on the top of my list. You know, they're the first call because it's the easy one. The guy knows his numbers. I don't have to convince him. He's going to convince himself. He just needs to know the address and the price, and he'll call me back or even do it right on the phone and say, yeah, no.
Totally. So, In fact, with a couple of the top wholesalers, the ones that are actually like, we felt are like doing a good job and out on the street, finding good deals and helping people. We actually, you know, based on how we're financing things or whether we're using private money or some of the credit lines and stuff that we have, my partner Ruben built out a calculator that all we need to plug in is the ARV, the number, amount of repairs, and what our purchase price is. And it just, you know, it just displays all of this information and tells us. And so we just gave that calculator to the best wholesalers. And we're like, listen, if this number on this line right here is 25,000 or higher, call me. We'll buy it. We'll buy them all. Mm-hmm. And so they know how to negotiate it for us.
Yeah. Essentially, you've become the hedge fund in town.
Sort of. Yeah.
So with that in mind, hedge funds need money. What are you doing to raise capital? You mentioned that your social is bringing in some money, but you're going to still have to close those deals apart from, well, let's include that. What are you doing right now to fund those deals? You'd mentioned you have some partnerships with some hard money lenders and some ratios that work well for you.
Yeah. So one of the funny things that kind of happened, hopefully I can use their name, but with Chiavi, they are a lender, an experience-based lender, I've come to find out, because when we first heard about them back in 2020, we had submitted a loan to them and they denied us. But it was because we were wholesalers mostly. Like, we had done maybe one or two flips at that time. And so we had heard the name, they had kind of blown us off, and that was that. Mm-hmm. And so at maybe 7 months ago or so, I get an email from one of the Chiavi reps saying, hey, we see all the properties that you're flipping. We know what you're doing. We want to give you $3 million.
So yeah, like, we want to get you on
that team. Real? You know what I mean? Like, you guys.
Yeah, is this kind of spam? Is this for real? Are you just scamming me?
We literally thought it was a scam, but it turned out not to be. And they did issue us that credit line. And so the credit line is for, it was for 90% of the purchase price, 100% of the rehab, as long as we hit certain metrics, right? It's got to mm-hmm. be basically ARV times 0.75 minus repairs. As long as we're all in at 0.75 or better, they'll finance 90% of the purchase price, 100% of the rehab. And then through some other programs that we've been in, we've actually been able to get that up to 100. But it's not always possible to find a deal that you're all in at 75%. And so that's where our private money lenders come in and our gap funders.
Yeah, so, it's always important to have some like liquid, non-institutional money that you can just kind of command, in the sense that's like, you said you were in, you said I could use it, I'm gonna go, I need it, I'm gonna use it over here, and they're like, yeah, go and do with what
Chiavi's
you said you were
not gonna
do.
Pay the insurance, you know what I mean? They're not gonna pay their own interest payment, they're not gonna pay the utilities and things like that. And so, you know, we kind of had to learn the hard way what it takes cash flow wise in order to successfully not only do a flip but do multiple flips, right? You can't perfectly time them all and things come up and you got to pay your bills and stuff. And so we had to learn how to incorporate our private money lenders into these deals to help manage all that, really. And so we have probably 12 10 or 12 private individuals that are either business associates that we've dealt with, or friends or family that, you know, they're asking us all the time to deploy their money. And so we pay them a very fair rate. We pay them more than we're paying Kiavi, and they're super happy to be a part of it. And we're excellent custodians of their money.
Yeah. That's one of the main things, is that you do need to be a steward of the money. And a lot of people, when they're looking at raising capital, maybe they haven't raised capital at all. They tend to overlook the fact that money not deployed is not earned. It has to be deployed and has to be put into a responsible hand, such as yourself, to actually turn a return. Because if you take it to the bank or whatever, they will deploy it, but it's typically paired with, you know, the inflation index. So they're like, oh, we'll give you 5 on your money. And, you know, if you do the numbers, the market inflation is like 4 or 5%. It might even be higher than that these days. That's just a number that I typically use when talking about capital. You say, you know, if you're not getting at least 4 or 5% on your money, you're probably losing money having it in your bank account. So it's time to do something with that money. So you have people coming to you, family, friends, and now through social media, how do you go about staying in touch with those investor prospects? How do you go about nurturing those people from, say, a fan on Instagram to an investor in your next flip?
So I don't have a ton of experience with it. I've only been doing that portion of it, let's say maybe the last 6 months. I've been doing deals and flips a lot longer than I've been showing them on my social media. And so as I've been posting these things on social media, I kind of let them know, hey, listen, if you're looking to invest money somewhere, you've got 30, 40, 50,000 that's not making you anything in the bank, hit me up. Let's talk about what we're doing. I can show you ways to deploy that money and make a great return on it. Totally safe. Backed by a property that is bought at a huge discount. And let's have a conversation. I would just keep putting that type of information in the body of the copy with the pictures and stuff that I put. And then anytime a new investor invested for the first time, I would welcome them to our investment family on social media and put pictures of the project that they are involved in. One interesting one is the lady that used to be the manager of the restaurant that I would go eat breakfast at 3 or 4 times a week. You know, she was just curious why I could always be there during the week, during
11 o'clock, 10
yeah,
o'clock.
Like, what do you do? You know what I mean? And we just started talking. And next thing you know, she sold her home in Las Vegas, moved to California, doesn't really want to buy another one right now. She's living with a friend. She's got a grip of cash in the bank, and she hit me up. She's like, Steve, let's
what
do this
do
thing
for me. Yeah,
and
let's
she's
do this
she's
thing.
Live with us right now.
Yeah, I really love diners. That's a great tip for wholesalers too. If you're trying to buy something in that neighborhood, just post up in that diner. I remember one time I was sitting in the diner, and there's a bunch of junk houses just like a block away, and we're sitting there, and I've been in there enough time to know that it's the same lady serving me. And I said, you know anything about those junk houses? You're like, oh yeah, that's Paul. He's never selling. I'm like, darn, but do you have his number? And we started working it, but the truth of the matter is he's not selling. So
there's that doorbell I was telling you about.
Well, we can wrap it right here if you want to, or I can pause it. We'll just pause it and you'll
come
back.
Let's pause it.
And we're back there. Sorry about the delay, people here. So the next question I got for you is, now that you've got these people looking to invest with you over social media and things like that, how do you go about presenting a possible deal to that investor? So she comes to you, she says, I got this grip of cash, I want to put it into something. Do you have a pitch deck? Do you, you know, just show her the numbers? How does that typically go to get someone to invest with you?
Typically, they've already been following what we're doing. So I don't need to convince them of the experience or our ability to do it. It's the number. I mean, it's literally, I'll give you X points and X percent. You know, typically our private money lenders don't even ask how the money is actually going to be deployed. They do like to know exactly which property it's on. And then they get to see it kind of happening as I post pictures and stuff over the weeks that project is happening. And so it's really just about, what am I going to make on my money?
Yeah.
That's what it's about. There isn't much of we don't have a pitch deck or anything like that. It's been all word of mouth. And success success with what we're doing. And then obviously they're happy and they just want to put in more and more. And so, but you know, we definitely could get access to more deals than we currently have probably enough capital to actually do.
It's always a thing. Other people's money is the way to really break the thing wide open. Cause the hard money is great. You know, it's really helpful. It's really streamlined. You can usually get most of what you need, but dinner without a fork is tough. So you gotta go and you gotta get that token money. Yeah. And it goes to show the hard money lenders, they want to know that somebody other than them trusts you enough to put a little bit of money on the table to make the thing go. And so, you know, what's interesting is we haven't really touched on the fact that you're a real estate agent. And a lot of times real estate agents shy away from investing because they're like, well, I can't because of my broker wants me to disclose this. And because I have a license, I can't do that and this. And what would you say to real estate investors who are seeing deals, who are in the business, and they're shying away from it because they're a licensed holding real estate agent?
I would say three things: disclose, disclose, disclose. Right. Mm-hmm. That's the first and main thing. The other thing is, and this is just me personally, I think there'd probably be a lot of people that agree with me and a lot of people that disagree with me. I never did any wholesale in a market that I was licensed in.
Yeah.
Okay. I only wholesaled in South Carolina, where I do not hold a license. I do feel that as a wholesaler, and there are a couple of like ways of investing, like novations, for instance, right, that are going to be real tricky if you hold a license and you're a fiduciary. Mm-hmm. If you are ever brought to task, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
Right. And so I never did get a license out there, but it's just really, in my opinion, as long as you disclose what you're doing and you're not trying to screw people, you're not trying to trick people. The goal is to help someone, to help them mm-hmm. architect a deal, right? Not everybody is going to use a realtor under the traditional methods of listing it in the MLS. And I've come to learn that there is an infinite number of reasons why. And sometimes yeah. they don't want to tell you why, and that's okay. But there is a market for people that have the experience that an agent has, that those folks don't necessarily need an agent. What they need is a solution, sometimes yeah. a fast solution, one that usually involves cash.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in the, you know, the truest bandit sign should be we buy problems, not we buy houses. Because the reality is the house is what we get in you know, result of solving the person's problem. Because they don't want to bring it to the market because they don't want people to see the inside. Okay. But the house itself is a fine house. It's just they don't want the neighbors seeing what the inside looks like. So they quietly sell it. They get a decent price. You know, you can help them solve the stuff problem of their house. And
we've bought from hoarders, you know, that obviously, you know, we've bought from people that have things about them that they're embarrassed about. You know, like you said, there's all kinds of reasons why people choose not to go the traditional route. And so, you know, it always comes back for me to being to be a solution for whatever their problem is. They're not in the market every day. Most people don't even know what the options are.
Yeah, they might buy or sell a house once or twice in their life.
Absolutely. Right. And so I feel like I am the bringer of information and possibilities, right? They're the ones that are ultimately going to make the choice, but mm-hmm. it's just about understanding what it is they need, what their problem is, and how I can solve it. And just because I'm an agent doesn't eliminate me from being able to be the one with the cash or the idea or the structure necessary to solve that problem that they have. But always disclose, and especially yeah. in writing, just over disclose, and very much disclose in what capacity you're acting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's sometimes I'm acting as in the capacity of an agent, a licensee. And then there's most of the time where I'm acting in the capacity of an investor.
Yeah.
And so they just have to be very clear and we
yeah,
get
the
it in
broker
writing.
Everyone wants to make sure that it's a fair deal, and fair sometimes can be subjective, but if you really disclose and you really write, you know, how this came to be, there's usually not an issue. It's when people are not disclosing, and then it comes out, and that's really where it gets tricky with the license. So there's, as a realtor, you can definitely, but as Steve says, disclose, disclose, disclose. So you've done a ton of stuff. I really love your acquisitions first growth pattern, because that's really where the best deals are made and found. And then your ability to flip them, the taskmaster of what it is that you're doing and the network that you've been able to put together. If people want to participate, they like what it sounds like, they want to find out more about you, where do they find you? How do they connect with you? What should they do?
They can check me out on Facebook, Steve Mikrut, the last name's Mikrut, also on Instagram, or our website, therealcashoffer.com. You can contact me through any of those places, and I'd be happy to have a conversation with anybody that's interested about anything to do with investing, or if they want to get some money in play, we can talk about that. I love talking to people, so I'm always available.
Yeah, that's what makes you that's what puts you in the maverick category. Or
right.
I really appreciate the time, and I think people are going to get a lot out of the structure and how you were able to actually climb the ladder of success. And I think you're going to give people a lot of hope that they can do the same. I really appreciate your time, Steve.
Thank you very much, Bryce. It was my pleasure.
No problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.